This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. If you would like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of this program. You can re-listen to this program on my website, and you can read my weekly meditation there. And if you would like to contact me, you can contact me either through the website or you can contact me by regular mail. If you have comments you'd like to make on the program or prayer requests you'd like to leave with us, you can contact me either way. So you may need a pencil and a piece of paper to write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now today we're going to continue our journey through Luke chapter 14. It seems that as we get into the Gospel of Luke, there are so many things that are applicable to the everyday life of a person. And in most cases, the Lord is saying we're going to have a change of heart and a change of mind if we're going to accept Him, because He doesn't think like we think. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are His ways higher than our ways and His thoughts than our thoughts. And so we have noted in Luke 13 that except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. There isn't a class of sinners who, when it comes to salvation, are greater sinners than others. We all are sinners, and we can't point the fingers at others because there are sins that we need to be saved from as well. And all sin is heinous as far as God is concerned. Sin is just disobedience against God. And we come into Luke chapter 14, and we look at people who are invited to wedding feasts, a joyous occasion, but apparently there was a pecking order at these feasts, and those who thought that they were most honorable tried to get into the most honorable seats, and they wanted the most honorable seats and would take them. And he says, now make sure you take the lowest seat, and if you should have that high seat, you will be asked to move up. It's better to be asked to move up than to be taking the highest seat and find out that you're not the guest of honor. At least you're not the one with the most honor, and to be asked to move down. And then we just were leaving off last time in Luke chapter 14 and verse 11, where it says, for whosoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And again, this isn't the way we operate in this life, is it? We do everything possible to exalt ourselves. I've often thought about verses like this when it comes to our present political campaigning. It seems as though we have to tell everybody how good we are instead of telling everybody how good the other person is. And instead of really humbling ourselves and letting others exalt us, we exalt self and let and sometimes we find the voters humble us, humble those who are running for office. It just is contrary to the way this old life works. And we're all guilty of wanting a place of honor, but the Lord took on the form of a servant at the Last Supper. He, as the servant, washed the disciples' feet, and he humbled himself, and now he's been exalted. And when it comes to our relationship with others and our relationship with God, we have to take the humble place. We have to recognize we're sinners in need of a Savior before we can trust in the one who died for our sins. And so we just don't think the way the Lord thought. We don't act the way the Lord acted. And it's only through the new birth that we can obtain any of these characteristics that we need and the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, before we are saved, does humble us and make us realize that we are not good enough or honorable enough or rich enough to get into heaven, that we just need what Christ has provided for us at the cross of Calvary. We need the Lord and His salvation. We need His provision. So when we humble ourselves, that's when we are blessed. Then he says in verse 12, then he said to those who invited him, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, but you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Now we know that the Lord talks about the resurrection of the just and the resurrection of damnation, the resurrection of life and the resurrection of damnation. The resurrection of the just is for those who are saved, and so he's saying that it's a truly saved person that could do this. In other words, we aren't saved by works, but a person who's saved shows that they are saved by their works, by their attitudes. They would humble themselves and they would try to be a blessing to others rather than expecting others to bless them. So we should not be inviting our friends to our feast. We should be inviting those who cannot invite us back. How many of us, I wonder, really do that? We even today search for church families and churches where we can make friends. And in making friends, we want to be able to enjoy the company of people that are like us. And most of us do good things for the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind, but we do them in a setting where we don't have to really be their close friends. And I have to admit that I probably fail on this point myself, because it isn't often that I would invite the poor or the maimed or the blind that I didn't know, at least, into my home. I might try to feed them in some other way, but I wouldn't likely invite them into my home. But the Lord says we should be inviting them and not inviting those who can invite us back. And that's exactly what he did. The Lord didn't come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. That is, to a change of mind, to an understanding of their sin, so that they could be saved. He says that it's not the healthy that go to the doctor, but those that are sick. And so the Lord invited people who could not give him the same blessing, who could not. He invited people that would not, that the world would not have invited. It's the people that the world call outcasts, and that some people would not want to associate with, that are often the most likely to receive the gospel and understand how blessed they are that the Lord has invited people who cannot invite them back. They cannot repay him for the blessing that he has provided when he died to save them. And then we go on into Luke chapter 14 and verse 15, and we read, "Now when one of those who sat at table with him heard these things, he said, 'Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God.' And the Lord said to him, 'A certain man gave a great feast and invited many.'" And this, of course, included the Jewish nation. "And he sent his servant," which would be a picture of the Holy Spirit, "at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuse. The first said, 'I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go see it. I ask you to have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused.' And still another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled, for I say to you that none of those who were invited shall taste of my supper.'" That is, those who were originally invited will taste of my supper. And may the Lord bless the reading of this passage. We often talk about this gospel feast in Luke chapter 14, where the Lord has provided a feast, and he's showing that those that are honorable, and those who would normally be the guests who could then invite this person who's putting on the feast to their wedding feast, that those people had no interest in coming. And so the Lord invites people again who are already lowly and humble, and he invites people who will never invite him back. Of course, it's the person who's hosting the feast that's doing the inviting, but we know that's a picture of the Lord Jesus, who is receiving people to the gospel supper that cannot pay for it, cannot do anything for it, can only receive the blessing they're getting by grace. And it's interesting that the people who were originally invited, which likely speak again of these Pharisees who and the Jewish people who the Lord had come to, it says in John 1, he came unto his own, and his own people received him not. It's politely referring to those, but the Lord has invited them, and he says, come, for all things are now ready. And that's the nice thing about this feast. There's nothing you have to do to partake. A lot of times when we're invited to somebody's house, we say, well, what shall I bring? And the Lord is saying, don't bring anything but yourself. But the people who were invited, they didn't have any desire to come. And so they, with one accord, began to make excuse. They made excuse. They did not make sense, because the first said, yeah, I've bought a piece of ground and I must needs go see it. Now, this is a fellow that I would like to get a hold of, because I think there's a Brooklyn Bridge or something that maybe we could sell him, or maybe some property over in Arkansas that maybe we could sell him, property that he hasn't seen, but we could tell him how good it is. You know that it wouldn't be reasonable to buy a piece of ground and then see it afterwards. No businessman would normally do that. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. And likely he's saying that I have here something that I really want to enjoy and use. He's not going to test them in the sense that he's going to find out if they're any good, but it's like a fellow who's bought a car and he's more interested in driving that car and enjoying it than going to this feast. But he could drive that car anytime. He could test these animals anytime. And another said, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. And this man might have been honest, because sometimes the person we marry is a hindrance to our relationship with God, and we need to think about that before we get hitched, so to speak. And so these people didn't make sense. They just simply made excuse. And so then the Lord goes out in the highways and hedges and finds people who want to come. And they're not the people that we would normally associate with, but they're pictures of sinners. And after he's gone out the first time, this servant has gone out the first time and has brought people in, he says, yet there is room. And, you know, I like that, because as I preach the gospel today, I'm convinced there's still room for another sinner to repent and believe. I still believe there's room for others to enter into the blessing that I've entered into. They can enjoy eating with the Lord in the kingdom of God. And whether we look at that as a spiritual blessing right now, or whether we look at that as a future blessing when the Lord comes, it doesn't make any difference. Those who are saved are blessed. And those who are saved are poor, and they're made rich. And yet none of those people who were originally invited will ever taste of his supper. Anybody who misses out on the blessing of God's salvation will have only themselves to blame. So there is still room. The supper is prepared. I hope that you are one who is taking advantage of the invitation. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon thy word, and trust that you'll bless the program, bless those who have listened, as we commit thy word to thee and give thanks for thy Son in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.